SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Running on tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius, Channel 159, Lisi in the cockpit tonight, Carver out on assignment, covering the NBA draft in studio with Scott Farrell on Coast to Coast today. A lot to get to. Major League Baseball underway, NBA draft, LeBron James gets his magic wish. Bronny James drafted in the second round by the Los Angeles Lakers. That's amazing in regards to that. We'll get into that with Matias a little bit later. Terry Bowden will be joining us. A lot of college football talk. We'll get Coach Bowden involved in the first hour. Talk about the SEC, the Big Ten, the biggest games in regards to the college football landscape. You could just taste it. Less than 60 days away. You want to join in on the conversation tonight, give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. Now, I did see some overs earlier in regards to the games. I did jump on a few late night games in regards to overaction. Sure enough, Philadelphia and Marlins dead under. Right now, bottom sixth, Phillies lead 3-0. I altered that baby up to 10.5. You got Texas and Baltimore. I mean, this is a shootout right now. Bottom five, Baltimore leads 8-1, sailing right through now the total. I believe it was 8.5. I altered that up to 10.5. You got Cincinnati and the Cardinals. Cincinnati bottom one right now with the 1-0 lead. St. Louis with a man on and one out. So we'll keep you updated on that. I did alt that total up to 9.5 at plus 180. Other games that are about to start. You got the Blue Jays all over the New York Yankees as well. You want to talk about a smash special, 8-0. The Blue Jays lead. That total was 8.5 as well. It was juiced to the under. In-game total right now is 13 and a hook at minus 118 to the over. You got the Blue Jays money line minus 8,000. You want to take a shot on the Yanks. Aaron Judge is up plus 4,600. Mid-third, bottom third now, Blue Jays with the 8-0 lead. Other games about to start. You got Kansas City and Cleveland. Cleveland right now is minus 110. You got KC minus 106. Right now, total is 8.5, juice to the over at minus 122. And then the late game in Anaheim / LA, you got the Angels plus 132, Detroit minus 156, Flaherty's on the mound, minus 104 to the over 8.5. So we'll see how that plays out. I might jump on the two late games in regards to over Kansas City, over Angels. I don't care that Flaherty's on the mound in regards to that. Maybe I'll get some Copa action. I'm not going to play it, but we can get maybe Matias to give us a breakdown of what's on the horizon. I see Bolivia right now in Uruguay. I don't even know. I think it's a 9 o'clock game that's about to set in about an hour. We'll see if we can get any type of odds or any type of edge. I'll just say this. Probably take the over. Why not? Give it a shot. We'll see how that plays out. And then some other action. I do want to talk about some college football because we were in a studio today and we were taping for the July 4th special and keeping an eye out for holiday programming out on the grid. Pro football today, college football today will get you covered throughout the holidays. We're just about a week away. But, you know, you talk about the games in regards to college football that's on the horizon. Let me just say this. Right out of the gate, College football wastes no time. Top 25 battles from start to finish. You got the first couple of weeks of the season can make or break for some potential teams. You got week one, USC and LSU, Georgia and Clemson. You got Texas and Michigan squaring off. Week two, you got Oregon and Ohio State. So we're going to talk to Coach Bowden as well from the coaching perspective, a lot in regards to EA Sports. They released some more tidbits in regards to the college football 25. We got some other news and notes surrounding college football, so we'll touch on that in second and third segment of the show. Big NFL news as well. The DirecTV lawsuit, I think, came down, and the NFL lost. They have to pay, I believe, $4.7 billion to potential DirecTV users and in regards to people that had used the product. I think it was from 2011 through 2023. I think I saw out there, Warren Sharp, who's part of the Pro Football Network on Sports Grid, brought up it's like $1,900 per customer, and I'll get the specifics in regards to that, but a huge blow to the NFL. How does that affect things moving forward? Honestly, I don't think it'll affect it in any way. I mean, granted, it's a blow financially, but all the NFL does is reload. I'm sure maybe, just maybe, there is another lawsuit maybe in regards to not paying out right away. Maybe they'll withhold some of the funds and they'll drag it out as long as they can. So I'll get the specifics of that. But that is a huge blow in regards to the NFL and the rights. We always talk about that moving forward. Amazon getting involved in the mix, Peacock, and all these streaming networks that want a piece of the action. We see the NFL going overseas as well to Mexico, Germany to play games, Brazil. That's all on the horizon. It's all about the BBD, right? It's about the bigger and better deal. The more money and the more revenue they can take in for their product, the more that they can obviously, you know, give to each owner, give to each team, and ultimately a little will trickle down to the players and the fans. Even though the players are making huge contracts, it's in comparison to what these teams are bringing in from a revenue perspective. How does that affect 2024 and beyond? We'll get into that. Maybe we'll talk to Coach Bowden about that as well, see if we can get him both for college and NFL in regards to the revenue sharing for the NFL season. Other news and notes regarding college football. One more thing in regards to that. You know, college football, I went through the odds with Ben today in regards to the top 25. I don't believe I've seen a season where you could just throw a dart at potentially maybe 20 to 25 teams and say, not only will they get into the college football playoff, but they legitimately potentially have a shot, depending upon how the schedule lines up, that they have an opportunity to make a run. We saw it with TCU a couple of years ago. They were a 200-to-1 shot. You're not going to get that type of value anymore because of how many teams are getting into the dance. The books don't want to obviously give out that much risk. They were willing when it was only four teams, right? You sort of gauged and knew who was in the SEC, the Big Ten, maybe, just maybe, you know, Clemson for years, Notre Dame if they ran the table. Now you have 12 teams. You have a handful in the SEC. You have a handful in the Big Ten. You have Notre Dame. You have the ACC. You have the Group of Five. So in regards to the odds perspective, they're not going to hang a 200-to-1 number on, let's just say, a team like an Iowa State or a team like Utah for the most part. Why? Because it's a real possibility where they can make a potential run. Now, the odds still suggest the top four, the creme de la creme, will always rise to the top. The Georgias, the Alabamas, the LSUs. Now we have Texas and Oregon in the mix, Ohio State and Michigan as well. But you never know. We've seen it in college basketball. They haven't been able to knock down that door, but we have seen runs by teams. TCU in regards to football. Can they knock down that door potentially as maybe an 80 or a 90-to-1 shot? Only time will tell. This is what it's all about. We're starting to get into that talk, baby. College football on the horizon. There's nothing better. Sit right back, relax, enjoy. Carver and Lisi coming right back with Coach Bowden. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, baby. College football is on the horizon, less than 60 days away. You can taste it. We're wetting the palate tonight right here on Carver and Lisi. We're joined by a good friend of the show, former head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Akron and UL Monroe. Coach Terry Bowden joins us. Coach, 60 days away. I cannot wait for the start of the college football season. We got expansion, 12-team playoff, and oh, by the way, a wide open field for the Heisman. There's nothing better than college football.
You know, you're exactly right, Joe. And, you know, there's been so much change. I think it's headaches and uncertainty for coaches and ADs. But I think, without a doubt, to the college football fan, we're hitting an era that's going to be beyond anything we've ever had. Coast-to-coast interest in college football, teams that can NIL their and portal their way up to being a contender like an Oregon or a Miami or a team like that can pull it out. So I think the product on the field is going to be the best football we've ever seen. We're going to enjoy football coast-to-coast like the NFL teams do. Their fans love that, and I think it's going to be a great thing. But there's been so much change.
Yeah, total change. I do want to ask you, because we see when at the top of the odds board, we see Texas and Oregon now conference realignment. Longhorns won the Big 12 last year. Now they join the SEC. Oregon now from the Pac-12. They go to the Big 10 to challenge the likes of Ohio State and Michigan, respectively. I've always said that, you know, we saw Texas knock off Nick Saban in Alabama last year in a one-game scenario. But now the wear and tear, the SEC, you know, that's where really we're going to see if Texas and Oregon and all these teams in terms of conference realignment can do it from week to week. I talked about it for you for a while, right? We saw the conference realignment even years ago affect West Virginia, your alma mater. Do you see the conference realignment potentially affecting the Ducks, Texas and Oklahoma respectively?
You know, it's going to affect their one-loss record. We just have to take things in perspective of what they are now. You don't have to go undefeated to make the 12-team playoff. And that's what happens. I think if you pick the top four teams in America right now, and I think everybody, most people would pick them in this order, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Oregon, that's kind of everybody's consensus. Well, heck, Oregon's got to play Ohio State during the season, and Texas has got to play Georgia. And, heck, they may play for the conference championship. But I would put money on it right now, those four will be the 12. Those four will be in the 12 because of how talented they are. And if you get to the 12, now you got a three-game series, a three-game season to win the national championship. So not only the four best teams, I think, loaded on talent and pick the four top contenders before the season, I think you can also project whether they lose their head-to-head or lose their conference championship. If it's like last year's top 25, there were about four teams in the Big 12, 10, about four teams in the SEC that would have made that 12. So, in a way, I think it's a better chance, even though the conferences have gotten so big and so competitive, you're going to see two or three teams at least out of the Big 10 and the SEC, and maybe just one out of the Big 12 and one out of the ACC.
Yeah, that's the story. We have to see how that does, in fact, play out. I want to bring up Nick Saban, and now no longer coaching the Alabama Crimson Tide, six national championships with Alabama, one with LSU. I mean, the last four seasons in Tuscaloosa, he was 34-4 against SEC opponents, 9-0 last year, won by 12 points per game. Kalen DeBoer is a great coach. You can win it at Fresno State. You can win at Washington. But this is a different animal. You have to hit the ground running, and the expectations are through the roof, just like coaching in the New York area in regards to pro sports. How much pressure is under Kalen DeBoer in year one?
But beyond anything he can even imagine. Beyond anything he can imagine. Now, I'm probably the only coach in America that has coached at three universities in Alabama. You know, Samford, North Alabama, and Auburn. And I watched the Alabama thing. Bear Bryant won six national championships. He was the GOAT. He has been the GOAT for years. Alabama went through seven coaches before they got to Nick Saban. Seven before they got to Nick Saban. You can't just win. You got to win the conference. You can't just win the conference. You got to win a national championship. So he'll get 1 year, but the expectations are so much they won't wait around. Now I think he's a good pick. I think he's the right pick. I love what he's done. The body of work so far. I'm just saying I've never seen a place with so many years of success, because it wasn't just about Bear Bryant. It was Frank Thomas before him. It was Wallace Wade before him. They have just year after year of success, and their fans will tolerate very little winning records, 10-win seasons. They don't mean a thing. It's all about national championship at Alabama. So that's going to be the storyline at Alabama. Can he prove that he can win fast enough, not for them to, because they will quickly say, I just don't know if he's the guy. I don't know if he's the guy. And you got to win. Now, you got to remember, Nick Saban had that first year where he lost to ULM, where he didn't have that good first year, but you don't get two. You don't get two seasons like that.
Brian Horson found that out, right, in Auburn? I mean,
yes, sir.
It looked like a great hire. and that's the thing. What can DeBoer do? Because he loses his best defensive player in Caleb Downs. He potentially loses his best weapon in Isaiah Bond to Texas with Steve Sarkisian. What can he do with Jalen Milroe quickly to help elevate this offense from just a game planning perspective? Is there anything he can maybe
cut down
to really...
One, he's got to do a great job of play calling. And again, he's done a great job working with his quarterbacks in his pass stops. And they've done a great job wherever he's been. He's done a great job there. And I think Milroe is the kind of guy that can get you the championship. They've lost players. They've lost a head coach. They're going to have to find their identity. But what he's got to do is do a great job. And I don't know that it's him calling the plays or how they're going to do it. But they have to do a great job of putting that quarterback in a position to be successful. Now, it's going to take great defense, as you've got to have at that level. But again, it's going to do it. You've got to do everything right when you're at Alabama to do what Nick Saban has done, because you got Georgia sitting there. You got Texas sitting there, not counting Auburn and Ole Miss and even Missouri as a dark horse. You got a lot of teams that are playing very, very well. So you've got to put as many people in a position to be successful and help that quarterback with the play calling and calling a great game.
We'll come back. We'll talk to Coach Bowden about the ACC, Florida State, Clemson, and Miami. We're coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, baby. I can feel it. I can taste it. College football starts August 24th. And we're going to have you covered from pillar to post right here on Sports Grid. College football today, I think, begins second or third week of August. We have games in Dublin. Coach, we left off talking about the SEC. I do want to bring up the ACC for a minute.
Right.
Three teams in particular. You have Florida State, you have Clemson, you have Miami. And it's a shame what happened to Florida State. Again, 13-0 in the regular season, left out of the college football playoff because of Jordan Travis. I don't buy that. I do believe the no should have been in there for their body of work. I think their defense could have carried them in a potential playoff type of atmosphere. That aside, though, I think Mike Norvell has done a fantastic job. You got DJU over. You have Marvin Jones that transfers in from the University of Georgia. This team is plus 156 to make the playoffs. I still believe Florida State is the best team in the ACC. I think they can go either 11-1 or 12-0 and crack down that college football playoff door.
And I'm with you. I think Florida State's my pick. Now, Uiagalelei was at Clemson while I was an analyst there, and I watched him every day in practice. I think he took a bad rap there because they lost two offensive co-coordinators. They lost their defensive coordinator, and they lost the quarterback, Lawrence. They lost Etienne at running back, and he comes in, and they're not as successful. Who takes the blame? Him. I think he's a great quarterback. I think Florida State's got a pick there. I think it's going to be between, FSU and Clemson, but I really think FSU has reloaded better. They have done a better job of going in the portal, getting players. And then Miami is that team that's the third one. And I think the three of those teams you got to watch. And I will say this, because remember, we're talking about a playoff. We're not talking about who's got to win that conference. I think two of those three teams will make I'm in the SEC, four teams in the Big Ten. But I think you will see two of those teams make the playoff. I just don't know which one they're going to be. But my pick is Florida State. I think they've reloaded at other positions and the quarterback position. You know, and when you look at these teams that are going to make the playoff or even have a chance to win the championship, you got four candidates. Look at the quarterback. Then how good's the defense? Then how good's the running game? And then what I call is a dominant one-on-one receiver. That's a quarterback. How good's the defense? Can they run the football? Because in the playoffs, you're going to need them. And then do they have a one-on-one dominant receiver that can get you a quick touchdown? I think those are the four areas. Florida State has got them a quarterback that I think they can build around with the rest of their team.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Now, Clemson's intriguing, right? When you were there as a graduate assistant, you know, helping out Dabo and the crew, you know, they went on a hummer.
Right.
They were 74-7 against ACC opponents from 2014 to last season. They lose four games in the ACC. They lose right out of the gate to Duke. They lose three road games, which was basically unheard of during the Dabo Sweeney era, where they had an 800 winning percentage on the road or on a neutral field site. I mean, the pressure's on Dabo. Can he do it, in your opinion, without taking in not one transfer this year? I mean, is it possible that he can win with the group that he has now?
Now, you can't underestimate Dabo. He's one of the smartest coaches I've ever been around. I've been around coaches all my life. He is a smart coach, but he believes so much in the Clemson culture. And they're going to sign him out of high school, and they're going to develop him, and they're going to go that route. Now, he's bullheaded. And I think he's being a little bullheaded because I think you got to grab one or two. I mean, every other team in America is grabbing several. He's not going to do that, but I wouldn't. I mean, you can't bet against him. I'm just saying is he's going against the odds by doing that because I don't care what you say. You've got to. I don't care if you go to the portal every year. You've got to have the top quarterbacks in the country. And when they won championships at Clemson, he had the best quarterback in the one of the best quarterbacks in the country, a first round draft pick. He's got to get back to that. So that's the one thing I've got to see. But if anybody can do it, I think Dabo does it. He's got such great confidence. He's one of the smartest coaches, well organized coaches, and he knows what he's doing, but he's just old school enough to say, I'm going to do it the way that I believe in, and I can't blame him, but it's going to, I'd say the jury is still out if you can go through and not get a great quarterback every year out of the port. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else knows they've got to pick up Ohio State to pick up a kid from Kansas State. Everybody is going out there and finding a great quarterback, because when you get to the final game or two and the defenses are both good and the running games are good and the talent is equal, the quarterback, whether it's the NFL or college football or high school, the quarterback is the difference.
Absolutely. And that's what Miami hopes to do with Cam Ward transferring in from Washington State. When we come back, we'll see if Coach Patton stays one more segment. We'll break down some Big 12 coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let me just say this. Back on Carver and Lisi. Carver's out. He'll be back tomorrow night. We're joined by college football analyst and former head coach Terry Bowden. Coach, we talked about the ACC. We talked about the SEC. Let's try and hit the Big 12 and Big 10 respectively. We'll start with the usual suspects in regards to the Big 12. We do have Oklahoma State, Texas Tech that potentially can win it, but we see Utah. We see Colorado coming in regards to the conference this year. We saw four teams last year come into the Big 12 and struggle with the conference realignment. Kyle Whittingham is a great coach. He's got a quarterback that comes back from an ACL that hasn't played in 18 months. Do you expect Cam Rising to be that player that he was a year and a half ago? Or, in fact, will there be growing pains or maybe some residual effects from the ACL?
Well, you know what? The one thing I've found over the years, the ACL, the orthoscopic surgery that they have, you're going to be healthier when you have the surgery. When you come back, your leg is going to be stronger than it was before. It's what goes through your head. It's that being able to overcome the mental aspect of having a wobbly knee, and it's almost like you feel it being wobbly, and it's not. But I think you can overcome it. The biggest thing has got to be mental, that he comes over it mentally. Many players do, but there are some that don't. And I just think we have to sit there and watch and see how he does, but that's going to be a key factor as we get to the Big 12. Because remember, when you get to the Big 12, just like the ACC, you almost have to win the conference to get into the Final 12. You're not going to get more than two at best, and probably one team out of that league that gets to that Final 12 into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's almost like, you know, we talk about the NFL, the black and blue division right. back in the day with the right. NFC North with all those four teams. It's similar right. in regards to the Big 12. You could look at maybe 10 teams that potentially have a shot, and the quarterback play is absolutely loaded. When you think about Rising, you think about K.J. Jefferson that transfers yeah. in from Arkansas. You have Shedeur Sanders. You have Brennan Morton. You have a host, Noah Fifita, that comes in with Arizona. I mean, the list goes on and on. Avery Johnson with Kansas State, Jalen Daniels. I mean, there's legitimate top 25 quarterbacks in this conference, so you're going to get the team's best shot. You're going to have to score a ton of points, so we will see how this plays out. I do want to bring up Deion Sanders. Your dad coached him back in his days in Tallahassee, All-American, Hall of Famer. He brought unbelievable optimism last year, wins his first three games. He wins four games and over exceeds expectations in year two. Right now, they have a 5.5 win total. I said, you know, for Deion, it's basically become bowl eligible. That would be the success in year number two. Do you see that he can get there in year number two with Shedeur Sanders? And in your opinion, from what you've seen, is Shedeur Sanders a top flight quarterback on the next level?
I think he is an NFL quarterback on a team that may not project him to a Heisman level, because you have to be a great quarterback and you have to win. You can't get the two things. And I don't know that Colorado can win at the level. You know, you talk about a coach like Deion. I think Deion's a great coach. I was the coach at Coach Kitchman, his very first game as a head coach. But you know what? If Nick Saban goes to Colorado, I don't think he wins six national championships. I mean, Michigan State didn't. I think Deion does a great job, but right now they've got to find a way to get to that winning season level and take it to the next level, because Colorado is a tough place to build a national champion. And he's the kind of guy that has the charisma, that has the image and the name to do that. But I'm not yet sold that you can take that job, even if you're a great coach. And I mention those other coaches because you don't see the Kirby Smarts or the Nick Sabans and the or Day at Ohio State. Do they win as much at Colorado? I don't think so either. So it's a tough place, but he's got a good team. I think he's got a chance. I think every team almost in that league has a chance to compete because of the quarterback and the fact there are no dominant teams over there anymore. I think Utah, when it comes down to it, will probably be the number one team.
Yeah, and you talk about the offensive line. They allowed 56 sacks, one of the worst units in all of college football. If you can't keep your quarterback upright, it's going to be very difficult to win ball games. They only rush for 68 yards per game.
That's right. You got to run.
Dead last in FBS, so hopefully that can change in year number two. Let's transition to the Big Ten. You talked about Ryan Day. There's no excuses, Coach. He's got Will Howard. He's got Travion Henderson. He transfers in Quinshon Judkins and Caleb Downs on the defensive side of the ball. 10.5 win total. Everything is there for the taking for Ryan Day. Do you feel they get it done this year and win the national championship?
He's kind of got to do it. I mean, he's lost three straight years to Michigan, and that's unexcusable at Ohio State. Now, he's done a great job of winning most of his games, but almost everybody that goes to Ohio State has that kind of record. But the first thing you got to do is you got to beat Michigan, and he's lost three in a row there. And then you better play for a national championship. You look back over the years, the Urban Meyers and the coach that was before Urban, darn it, I forgot his name, that was there, that won. They both won
Trestle.
National championships.
Trestle.
Yeah, Trestle. Trestle, in their second year, they won a national championship. And so now he's been there and he has not. And I think one hit, but he's got the team. I think there's it's not the Big Four conferences. Right now it's the Big Two, the Big Ten and the SEC. So I do think he's the best. But his competition, I believe, will be with Oregon, because Oregon, by taking the money they've got, the NIL, the portal, they've put themselves in a position to go into that conference and be competitive. And again, they play Ohio State, too. They play Ohio State on October 12th. They play Ohio State a week before Georgia and Texas play.
Right.
And so we're going to see a little bit of how good they are.
No, I agree. What is? I do want to ask you, because you have coached now in the current landscape. With NIL, from an offensive perspective, and we see quarterbacks transfer from program to program, you know, the bigger and better deal, I call it. What is the hardest thing from the quarterback perspective? Because you've coached quarterbacks and called plays for your offense. What is the hardest thing for these players to grasp in year number one? Because, there, like you mentioned, there's no margin of error. Will Howard can't have any growing pains, otherwise he's going to be out the door and Ryan Day potentially could be fired.
Well, the nuances of an offense don't come that quite easily, because you got to remember, whoever's calling the play, whatever's in his head, what the coach is calling the play, the quarterback has to be on the same wavelength. When I call a play, and I call plays all my life, I knew where I wanted the ball to go. But if my quarterback did not know that's where he thought I wanted to go, he may go some other direction. So, and to get that done in 1 year, that's not always easy to do. And then the other thing is the timing of quarterbacks and receivers. That's not something you can always do. Every receiver runs routes differently. You get a feel for your receivers, and to be able to come in there in 1 year or 2 years and get that done, that's another problem that you got to have. So I think, one, you've got to get the quarterback on the same page and wavelength as the play caller. So what he wants to get accomplished is what's going through that quarterback's head. Now, I think we have the microphones in the helmet this year, I believe, don't we, a little bit? We're getting a little bit of that in college football. Yep. And that's going to help that. That's, you know, I didn't even think of that, but that's going to help that situation. But then you've got to have great timing and great timing between your quarterbacks and receivers to have the kind of success you need to have.
I agree wholeheartedly. We'll see if Ryan Day can do it. I mean, the biggest thing that I've seen in Ryan Day in terms of big matchups is second half adjustments, right? You have success in the first half. The defense makes adjustments. I haven't seen enough from an offensive perspective where Ryan Day changes it up. It's more status quo. Whatever we did in the first half, we'll do in the second half. And he hasn't adjusted from an in-game perspective. Now we have Chip Kelly, right? How much will Chip Kelly bring that offense? We have about a minute, but do you think Chip Kelly adds an extra benefit?
Oh, I think he does, too, because let me tell you something. If you're in a conference more than 3 or 4 years, everybody kind of knows. It's like, what's the book on my dad? What was the book on me? What's the book on Day? You get a book on somebody, and you know what they tend to do in the same situations. So if you're in a conference long enough, getting a new coordinator, his personality will come out, his play-calling style, it'll be a different deal. That's a great move for Ohio State.
Coach, always a pleasure. We'll get you on throughout the off season. Thanks again.
Sounds great.
Love the
info. Thank you, man.
We'll come
Take
back.
Care, man.
We'll talk
Thank
some
you.
Major League Baseball right here. Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi right here, Sports Grid Radio. Great insight from Coach Bowden. We're going to have Coach Bowden on throughout the offseason, breaking down the college football conferences. Carver and I can't wait to get into it. I know Carver's still talking about the golf, and rightfully so, but college football is on the horizon. We're going to break down all our under-the-radar teams' best games of the regular season. We'll have you locked and prepared for the upcoming season, less than 60 days away. Do want to bring up some Major League Baseball quick updates. They broke out in Philly. 6-4 right now. Marlins have the lead. Bottom eight. I need one run by the Phillies. Phillies trail 6-4. Orioles all over the Rangers 9-2. They're sailing through that number. Cincinnati smashing St. Louis right now. Mikolas getting absolutely torched down 5-0. Extend, extend, extend. Bottom three. Cardinals with a man on. I need, five runs in St. Louis. I need one run in Philadelphia, and we hit another alt parlay. So hopefully it could come through for us throughout the night. Also, Yankees trail 8-2. No score in the Royals game between the Guardians and Royals. So let me get Matias up. Matias, what do we have? Bolivia? Playing in this Copa. We got the Copa tonight. You're very quiet tonight. You're not giving me any info. You're not interactive. You're soaking in the corner because we lost some money. It's all right. We always lose every now and then. You got to scrape yourself up from the mat. What's going on, baby?
I'm extremely frustrated with the U.S. men's national team, Joe. I got to say, Greg Berhalter dropping the ball, Tim Weah getting that red card in the first half, putting the U.S. on its back foot for the rest of the game, in a game in which the USA needed to win, considering they have to play Uruguay with their last game of the group stage, which is also the toughest game of the group stage. Uruguay is very good. I actually have them going all the way to the final. And you know what? And with the news of Messi now being injured for Argentina, and it's a severe injury, it's pretty bad. He might be out for a while, Joe. And that now, in my opinion, this now makes Uruguay the top dog based on how they've been playing this whole tournament. So, again, bad news for the U.S. men's national team. They fell flat on their face. And you know what? They are hosting this tournament. This is the worst thing that could have happened to them. You know, it's supposed to be a party before the World Cup. And here they are in one of the easiest groups with Panama and Bolivia. And now we might not even get out of the group, Joe. That's how bad the U.S. dropped the ball. The U.S. is now forced to beat Uruguay if they want to keep their hopes alive to go into the next round, more than likely, because I don't think Panama is going to lose to Bolivia. They're going to either tie them or beat them. And if that's what they do, Joe, they're going to move up, and the USA will be left out of this tournament. And they're the damn host. Just utterly embarrassing. I'm disgusted right now. I'm angry. I lost money, but more than anything, I'm just annoyed at this U.S. men's national team and the bad decisions that the coach did even after the red card, man. It's just a complete disaster. Vent right, so, over.
All right, so a couple of things I want to tell you, okay? Number one, it's all ball bearings. You could bring it up to me. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, this one, that one. You know, I'm not that well-versed with the soccer. But I will say this. There's one thing I know, okay? The U.S. men suck in regards to soccer, okay? Women's soccer, USA, great, right? Men, they suck. It's like going, I'm going to give you a story. Back in the day, about 25 years ago, when we moved down to Central Jersey, right? My dad goes to a bar and grill, okay? And what do you get on a bar and grill? I take the parents out, right? You get chicken fingers, a hamburger, right? Wings, right? What do you get? You know, barbecue chicken, whatever it is. It's a bar and grill. He orders the special pork chops. He said they sucked. How do you get pork chops at a bar and grill? It's the same thing betting the U.S. men's soccer. Hey, you can't do it, Matias. It's like dead money. The men suck in soccer. I know. Even I know that. And I don't even watch it. How are you betting the men's national team? Seriously.
Joe, you know what? They're actually going through a good spell right now.
I'm not gonna lie.
This is one of the best teams. It's one of the best teams they've had. They don't suck, Joe. They don't suck. What sucks is bad decisions that they make. If they wouldn't have got that red card.
I don't understand.
It's a selfish play, Joe. It was a selfish play by Tim Weah. He smacked the guy in the back of the head in the 20th minute because he got frustrated and they sent him off. And that's not like him. That's out of his character. It was a disgrace. It was a disgrace play. They were put on the back foot playing down a guy. It's as if Panama was on the power play, Joe, for 70 minutes. You know what I mean? The bridge will break. They can only play so well being down a man and chasing the ball around the field for the rest of the game. It was a terrible mistake. The U.S. actually scored a goal in the first 8 minutes of the game. It was called offsides. It was a tough break. And then they literally get the red card 5 minutes later. It was supposed to be a party in Atlanta today. There was a great showing. So many fans wearing the red, white, and blue today. And they just couldn't show up and make it a party. You know what I mean? They just couldn't make it a party. Instead, they made it a disaster. They made it a nightmare. And you know what? If it wasn't for the red card, they would have won the game, Joe. You know, I'm pretty confident in saying they would have won the game.
We can't cry over spilt milk, all right? You got to get up off the mat. This is gambling 101, all right? You can't get upset about it. Let me ask you this. Did the game go over last night, Venezuela and Mexico?
No, it stayed under. That was an easy under, though. It was 1-0 Mexico lost, and it was a disaster for
money.
Mexico.
I thought it would go over, you see? So there you go now. Now you know. That's absolutely exactly right. That's how you have to play it.
We should play Darwin Nunez to score over a goal and a half against Bolivia, Joe. Darwin Nunez!
I'm not taking anybody. We'll come back with more Copa Talk right here on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back in the saddle, baby. I need one run in Philadelphia. Give me one run, baby. Can I get one, Matias? Can you give me one? I need one run. Oh, I missed out. I have a parlay going here.
Let's root it in, Joe. Let's root it in.
I need one run. Top nine. Give me a dinger here. Top nine. Come on. Take a ride. Check it out. Let me tell you, Baltimore crushing Texas right now. 10-2, bottom eight. They got runners on first and second, one out. Reds all over the Cardinals, although Cardinals did add two, so it's 5-2, top four in St. Louis. I have over 9.5. Let's see. I did take a shot, Matias, on the over. In Anaheim / LA, took over 10.5. They gave me a no sweat token. So I took Rengifo, Verling, and Keith. So over 10.5, Rengifo to get a hit, Verling to get a hit, and Keith to get an RBI. So that's a no sweat. I can't lose. I'd like to win. What do you think about that? Any shot that we can get the over tonight in L.A. with this Flaherty on the mound? I do believe Flaherty is just as good as Scooble. So what do you think about that?
Joe, you know what? I want to pick on the Angels tonight because Flaherty, you know, he went to Harvard Westlake in California, and he usually plays well in the southern section whenever he comes back home, Joe. So I'm actually I'm on the Tigers tonight to win the game, and I really want to toggle with Flaherty over 7.5 strikeouts at 8 at plus 140.
So you take that under. So basically you just kiboshed it. If you like Flaherty to come back, you're saying he's got no shot to get over this total tonight.
I think he usually has a good game at home, Joe. He plays his best ball when he comes back home. He really does. You know, he was a star down here. And whenever he comes home, he feels good. He has mama's cooking. You know, dad's at home. Everything's going good. You know, he sees a dog. He's feeling right, Joe. He's feeling 18 again, Joe. So that's why when I saw Flaherty pitching tonight, I thought to myself, okay, let's go for it. Let's go after the Harvard
Westlake.
Make
it sound like it's Phil Niekro on the mound. The guy's like 80. I mean, he feels young again. I mean, he's in his 30s. I think he's under 30, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still a young kid, Joe, but he's going to feel younger, Joe. You can't tell me that when you're 30 years old, you feel the same when you're 18. You feel great when you're 18 years old throwing strikeouts.
Let me see now. Now you got me. You keep telling me this. He's an old Jack Flaherty. Let me see. I want to see how old he is. And then we're going to get into, isn't UFC 303 this weekend?
Yes, it is, Joe, and I can't wait.
Old Jack Flaherty. Come on now. Yeah. 28. He's going to feel young again.
That's why I'm taking him over the strikeout prop, Joe. I'm taking him over his strikeout prop.
I hope he gets smashed tonight. How about that? I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over. I hope he gets smashed.
Let's go. You know, let's go. I'm taking the Tigers to win tonight. You know,
is there anybody? You like the Tigers. I like the over. Let's see if we can agree on something. You want to take a shot on the over 11.5 St. Louis and Reds? They got 7 runs. You want to see if we can get 13? You want to push our luck? No whammies, no whammies? Come on.
Yeah, no, I'm down with that. The overs have been hitting today.
So let's take over 13. Over 13.5 at plus 220. And I'm going to take the over 10.5. In the Angel game. Is that fair? Could we get that?
That's more than fair. Let's root it in.
There used to be a guy in the Bronx when I used to, I think it was Pugsley's Pizza back in the day. I used to say, how you doing? He used to go, better than good. Better than good. Not good, better than good. What do you think about that? So that's better than good. We got a double-double, over, all right? Over 13.5, right, for the Cardinal game. And we'll take the over 11.5 in regards to the game with the Angels and Flaherty. I hope he gets smashed, okay? Are you with me?
Let's go, Joe.
Are you riding?
I'm with you, Joe.
All right.
I'm with you.
And then in second hour, Matias, it's all you in regards to this NBA breakdown. I want to know if you're happy on the who the Clippers got. I want to get your thoughts about the Lakers and Dalton Connect. I heard J.J. Redick all of a sudden drafting up plays for his new addition. Guess what? Lakers will still limp and miss the playoffs next year. You know why? Because they're gutless. We'll come back and we'll talk NBA next on Carver and Lisi.